I gotta say, Crunch Fitness is full of hoes. they flock together because the ladies, you can see all their feathers. the geese will gander, but nah, you know. I gotta say, look, I'm not here to judge. You do notice that these commercial gyms, it feels like the gym, everyone dresses the same and smells. this is an absolute true story. Earlier, if you ever know anything about these commercial gyms, if you secure a bench, you better just stay there. Because if you get any water, refill, if you just decide to turn around and, you know, think if someone asks you a question, I'm not exaggerating, your shit will be taken. So I was over at the dumbbell area, and all these benches, there was like three or four benches that were actually open. I was at one doing some work, you know. I was like, you know what, I left my phone next to it. You know, it kind of leaves a signal. And I don't like being that guy to hog the machines or hog a station. But you got to know your environment. You got to know the type of people you're around. And I was like, the water fountain's like 75 feet away. I'm like, I looked and I was like, when I come back, these four benches are going to be taken. Like, I just feel it. Like, something didn't feel right. But I took a chance and went to get water. I literally walked back. There's a random dude curling. There's someone with a 100-pound dumbbell. There's this one girl with her water bottle, phone, and her keys on a bench seat. Like, where the fuck? Like, people that were not in my peripheral vision. Like, literally, bro, you just get up and people are snatching your shit. But yeah, you know, all these ladies, not criticizing, but it feels like everyone's just dressing the same. You know, I ran into someone, you know, an older fella, and he's like, he was an old coworker of mine, really cool dude, really nice. And you know, he was like, you know, I hate the term chopping it up because I'm not that cool, but you know what, we were slicing and dicing. I don't know if that's any better or cooler. Probably cornier. But yeah, we were slicing and dicing. And, you know, we were vacuuming. Slicing and dicing. I don't vacuum. and he's like, I gotta tell you, man. All these girls, you know, they wearing nothing. I can see everything. And I'm like, yeah, that's why people are like, how come you never actually look at anyone? I'm like, because there ain't nothing to see. They're soulless beings. you know, it's like my mom once said. She never actually said this, but it sounds cool to say. The less clothes she wears, the more souls she has left to bear. She never said that, but you know, it's cool to say. Yeah, but you know what? I think honestly when most people start adapting to their environment. You know, it's kind of like everyone's wearing these Lululemon fits. Wearing these outfits I'm talking about. It's these like not spandex, but these athletic wear that's around the chest, obviously, you know, cover the nips. And then it's like the whole midsection, and it is borderline not even shorts. Like, honestly, if you're really paying attention, you can see the outer line of the cheek. Am I doing that? Of course not. But you know, we have the wipe down machine, you're like, that's a sweaty cheek that was on here before. and you're like, then you look around and you're like, there's only one guy sweating here. If I was a creep, if I was like one of those anime creeps that like, you know, sniffs like on Charlie's Angels, the guy who sniffs the lady's hair, I would just go to like a Planet Fitness commercial gym and just wait for a sweaty gal to get off and just like stick my nose up in there. You know, if you get off on that type of stuff, you know, if that's your thing, you know, some people, you know, some people are like cats out here with the pheromones. You know, some pheromones on the kitty cat. As Bruno Mars would say, fat, juicy, and wet. Yep. But you know, you really break down those lyrics. Fat, juicy, and wet. All right, let's break it down. I know what he means, you know. Because, you know, a lot of people say you wouldn't want a fat, you know. Meow. Now, juicy and wet, you know, depending on your appetite. But, you know, juicy and wet, you know, it's kind of like, is it an oxymoron? They kind of cancel each other out. Like, you're saying the same thing. But, you know, guys will complain if stuff is fat, you know, in the little slit. But I don't know, you know, going off on tangent there. But, yeah. Which is basically like, you know, Bruno Mars is basically commercial gym music. Not anything wrong with that. But, yeah. It's fun times out here. And, you know, I genuinely do think it really does have to do with, you know, it's almost like if you're in that environment and you don't wear that type of appealing clothing, you know, it's almost like you stand out and not having confidence in a weird way. And I think that creates this unhealthy competition. Kind of like Jess Hilarious and Lauren LaRosa. But, you know, it's almost like even if you don't have what people would appear to be attractive, you not wearing it is a automatic turn-off signal that you're not like everyone else. You know, you don't have the same confidence. It's like, well, you know, some people shouldn't have that confidence. You know, they are wearing these things. It's always the most awkward when it's, like, I remember the first or second day I went, you know, and I'm not here to criticize appearances. You know, I'm in no position to do that, especially at this point. But when it's, like, obvious that, like, they're wearing something to show off something, you're like, I think you should have got a peer review before you left the house today. this doesn't, it kind of looks like two cranberries that are stuck in a swimsuit. yeah, like, maybe pulling it up, you know, to try to make the ass pop and stuff, and you're just like, you do you, girl. But, you know, us guys, we're stanky too, you know. Guys, we'll be wearing, it's always the guys with the big upper body. Then they wear the short shorts, and there's no matching of legs to match the upper body. That's the most awkward, you know. And, you know, you will be surprised. You go one of these crunches and stuff like that, like, everyone, like, so many, you'd be surprised like how many guys are actually taking the shit. You know, they're taking that good stuff, you know. Not the Marcus Jordan, you know, getting his car caught on the train track good stuff, you know. Where he's like, there's 4, 5, and 6 of us. You're telling me we can't get this off the train tracks? And like, no, we could get it off the train tracks, but what you had to do to get it on the train tracks is the problematic part. That's why we don't want you behind the wheel, bro. I've never seen that before, where someone accidentally turned on the train track. Not like going in the middle and they're stuck in between when the train's coming. Like, legitimately took a right turn onto the train tracks and kept riding. And they're like, yeah. But, you know, that's just kind of, the breaking news out here. And I don't know what it is, you know, we love watching nepotism fail. There's like a weird thing that it's like this weird sensation that, you know, the pores, as Tom Segura would say, us pores. I don't actually get a thrill off of that. I'm not a big oh, someone grew up with privilege and money and all that stuff, you know, they deserve, you know, whatever comes to them, you know, they didn't have to work for nothing. Because honestly, there's a lot of people, they would crumble under the pressure of having to live to expectations that are far heavier and higher than what the general person, than what the general population standards are. So be very careful with, like, you know, shit, because, like, no one of Michael Jordan's sons, like, it's in pot, like, no one is even going to go to the NBA and be Kyle Kuzma. Like, let's be honest about it. There's no, and it's almost like, yeah, you hit the genetic lottery in a way, but at the same time, the mentality you have to get to that level, to where you just say, fuck life, you know, you throw away everything potentially good because you have this one drive and passion, and to make it through that. You know, Michael Jordan, he had a lot of alienated relationships. He had a well-known gambling problem. Had a well-known, not a great relationship with his sons. As far as we know, a very selfish individual. But we also praise it as being this amazing, oh, that's what a winner is. Win at all costs and all that shit. And then there's a trickle-down effect. But no one cares the fact of what that may have affected in his personal life. And we got to be very, you know, people criticize LeBron about, oh, he doesn't have that killer, like, that win no matter what mentality. It's like, well, his son, regardless even of whatever your assessment of his lack of talent, the dude's playing and he's actually trying and humble enough to not be like, hey, I'm LeBron's son. You're going to put me on the fucking team. Because honestly, they really could. But he's going through the process of G League, getting better and, you know, getting embarrassed at some points, but nothing, he's too big for his britches. This dude in the video literally said, I'm Michael Jordan's son. And you're like, you know, I think once you hit above like the age of 26, it's kind of weird to go out and say to a cop, regardless of your fame, and be like, I'm this person's son or daughter. It doesn't really matter, because I don't care what your connections are. Your car is stuck on a train track. You got a DUI and you have cocaine. You're going to need a little bit more connections than that. And you're not even in Chicago. But yeah. But, you know, he was with the girl that you probably see at Crunch. He was crunching some things, all right. But yeah, welcome to episode 324 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell, most important ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah, recording this on February 5th, 2025. 5-5-25. If you add it off, you get 35. No meaning whatsoever. But, no, wait, 2-5-25. Never mind. But, yeah. New setup, nice background. It's crazy, you know. It's amazing what a little angles on a camera can do. Because, you know, if I turn the slide on, it's a whole different thing behind here. I am very excited, you know. I really feel like, I don't know if it's going to start on this episode, but I am officially invested. I'm going to start stock trading. no, but you know, me and good close group of friends, we are going to start getting some day trading, you know. And it's a weird thing, right? I'm not very familiar with day trading to the extent I should be before you start putting money into it. But it is definitely one of those things where, you know, that, like, really, when you look down, when you do those stocks and day trade, for every person that wins, there is someone on the receiving end that's losing. That's kind of how you're able to kind of keep this shit going, right? And there's a moral, because you're basically, there's no moral compass to it. You're literally waiting for something to fall, or you are waiting to hold on to something for it to rise so you can sell it for something higher. There's nothing genuine about it. Like, you don't care about whether Google survives or not. You don't care whether if you're investing in NVIDIA. Like, literally, you just go type up a random company and be like, hey, are you going to succeed or not today? And it's like, hey, your failure is my success. it's pretty weird that you can actually, like, I'm betting on your failure and I'm going to profit off it. It's a pretty fucked up system, you know. But, you know, it's time to take it to the next level. You know, I'm a man. I put in the time. And, you know, the importance of this episode, I really don't care how good this episode is going to be. And what I mean by that is, look, I didn't come in the show with too much to talk about, but I am very excited. I'm inspired. I do think it's very important to show people along your journey to the moment that a pivot. And I truly do feel like it's a pivot point for this. Like, you just feel, you know, you just feel like there's like a change in the current, you know? Like, the miles per hour is more working to push you forward than it is to hold you back, you know? And I feel like, I'll put it like this. I invested. I've complained about my lack of technology for the longest time. Well, no more excuses. I decided to actually invest and go bankrupt. no, but I invested in a laptop, a legitimate laptop that I actually handle doing editing. So for the first time in this channel and this podcast, you will actually see some editing. You may see an intro, a cool intro. You may see some shit that's cut out. You may see stuff speed up. You may see just like some cool designs. But the genesis of the show is still going to always be the same, which is me putting myself out there when I shouldn't. but, you know, it's very, you know, one thing I'm very proud of is I don't want this to be so, I don't want my channel or my show to ever be pigeonholed. I think it's very important to talk about that, right? Because regardless of your success levels, I've been doing a lot of research and kind of like preparing for this next level elevation. That I know when I start putting out clips and really start looking at it from a different lens, I really can understand it from a different point of view. And really get more on the technical side. So I really, you know, can see more than just the fun and the content creation aspect of it. I've been watching a lot of videos of my first year monetization, you know. Because it would be like, oh, my first year being fully monetized, how much I made. And, you know, you're not surprised that the number, like, really the only thing that kind of drew my eye, I was really surprised at fluctuations in month by month. Some, and it's people that consistently put it is a lot of like vlog channels, but so it is different when you're doing something like very, very long form. But it's also harder. I would say it's a little bit harder to do something like this, get seen, and really try to make some of this in vlog. Because vlog is very, it feels very personal. It's a lot of moving parts. For this, you have to really display, you have to really articulate, you have to keep someone's interest by just your talking points, not going off point as I'm going off point. But you know, you're really being vulnerable, not to be gay here, but I've been watching a lot of just kind of like on when you are at similar points as other people and they go through their journey of that, so I'm kind of like knowing what the expect, you know, and all that stuff. And it is very interesting, and it really like kind of reignites that fire in you. Because I think sometimes when things are so dead still, you just kind of accept things for what they are for the longest time. And I think this is going to be a point, like starting at this episode, I'm going to try to use the editing software and stuff like that. I know it's crazy to say out loud. But yeah. So yeah. But yeah, two important news. This is very, very late to the party. But I actually wrote it down probably a couple weeks ago in my notes. But I kind of had this, it's a story about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think. Probably happened like a month ago. So everyone knows about the guy who went through this coffee shop drive-thru, but it's a drive-thru to where the ladies are dressed, you know, very scantily. Basically Crunch Fitness. it's basically Crunch Fitness in a Starbucks drive-thru in a way, you know. Nothing wrong with that. But apparently this guy was coming through for periods of time and he was kind of weird. And so they knew when he came and he ordered something, they were just ready. They had the camera out the window. And this man at the window, fully nude. Dude was fully nude. The lady was recording him, recorded his face and everything, put him on blast. And then not too long after, he blasted himself. there's nothing to joke about. But the things is cause, you know, cause a little bit of controversy. Or I don't even say controversy. I think most people are on the side like, this guy's a fucking weirdo. But he's married and has a kid. So as another layer, this isn't just some creep that did whatever to himself and, oh, only his, you know, mom has to deal with it, you know. From a trouble, like, he had a wife and a kid. Well, you know, this man literally left the house. He said, I love you, babe. Pulled down his pants, went to a drive-thru, and was like, yeah, this is what the ladies want. and I guess the pressure's, like, it went viral and all that stuff, and the guy was put on blast. So he's like, fuck. And he took his own life. And, you know, there's a part of it where, like, you know, she didn't have to make it go viral or nothing. And I get the point of that. At the same time, yeah, no, she kind of did have to make it go viral, you know? Not that that should be the result, but honestly, if someone was going to take their life because of something, they put themselves in a situation that was really unnecessary, and they took their life even knowing that they're leaving especially their child and their wife behind, I don't really have too much empathy for that. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know, is it empathy or sympathy? No one ever says it right. And it just, one, the thirst of guys, of people these days, of guys where it's like, guys will go through the greatest length. Like, when has ever pulling down your pants in public ever gone well for you? 99%. Regardless if what your body is nice to look at or not, it typically doesn't work out when you do that. You know? It puts people in very uncomfortable situations. So I guess it's more of, is it right, is it wrong for someone to put that out on the internet? They could have just went to the police. All that stuff. But reality is, stuff like that, unfortunately, things have to be made for public humiliation. Because think about, like, if you think about, like, the old Roman times, like, they would publicly humiliate you, publicly beat you. Like, if you committed some, like, crimes of, with children and shit like that, like, they would beat your ass, cut your genitalia off for the whole town, the sea in the middle. It would be a whole event. And since no one's afraid of the genitalia getting cut off anymore, guys go around and they drive with their pants off, you know? I mean, at least put your dick in a box, you know? he's on a lonely island now. But, you know, the guy, honestly, his smile when he was put on blast, you know, he's a creep. And if you think that's the first time he's ever done that, and that's how, when you know you're so thirsty for attention, where you're like, oh, I'm going to leave the house today, pull my pants down, show them what I'm working with. It doesn't work out for 99.999%. And if you do, you know, you better really make sure, you know, she really wants you. Because even if she really wants you, if you aren't her immediate partner or nothing, like, it's kind of like, eh. But yeah. I was just asking for a cup holder. But yeah. Also, I will say, I am an avid podcast listener in general. And it's weird. I've gone through this phase recently where the beautiful thing about when a lot of people aren't really fans when there are repeat guests on a podcast type of thing. Like, especially if it's a lot within a short period of time. You know, if it's a few years in between, people are pretty cool with it. But I guess when you've been doing some for 10 years and stuff like that, like, especially at first, your guest list is going to be a lot smaller. It's going to be a lot of your close friends or just people you really want to talk to, people you're comfortable. So I've been on a real binge of someone that's been on JRE, like, I think I looked at 20 plus times maybe. But I just, you know, there's this comfort of just listening to years and years. When you just love a dynamic between two people, there's a comfort, there's an entertainment, I think that beautiful balance when you find that dynamic where it's, they could be talking about the most serious shit, they could be talking about the most craziest, like, point of views of life, their experiences and stuff, and wounded gazelles. And it kind of feels like you're listening to the same conversation every time, but almost at different points in life. And I've been just on this binge of listening to Greg Fitzsimmons and JRE. I don't know why I'm saying it like that, but yeah. And it's one of the most underrated podcast duos of all time. It never disappoints. And it's almost like when you are, you know, we always want to say we want to listen to new stuff, you know. Oh, we need something different. Then when these shows, they get guests on that you've never heard of, you read what they do, there's hesitation to click because you're investing an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into, and you're like, you know, I don't, like today, he has some guy on named Rick Caruso. He's like some politician, businessman. And I was like, I don't really want to fucking, like, you know, if I'm going to dedicate this much time, like, I may give it 10 minutes. In that 10 minutes, if I don't really like the way the person talks, I'm probably just going to listen to someone I know. And that's why, like, having a proven track record matters, you know. Like, we all want to say that, oh, you know, we want them to have, like, all these cool scientists and shit. It's like, then the biggest episodes are the ones that it's the repeat, yes, that we know what we're getting, the fun. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah, you know. You know, I think just sometimes it's very important to build a community within yourself, you know, not be afraid to, you know, expand them hips. But, you know, I will, you know, there is this weird thing. This is just my view on something. People want to act like, and I will say, I've become a little bit more paying attention to kind of how dangerous gambling is to young people and how it does, like, it can ruin people's lives and stuff like that. It can be a real addiction. It is, like, a thing to where there's kind of a moral dilemma when these big platforms have them as big sponsors, or they're literally the sponsor of the show where it's funding their whole show. Because I think like Busting with the Boys recently, they basically sold their, you know, they sold their show to, it hasn't been officially reported, but it's reported to be like MGM or FanDuel or something like that. And there was a period of time, Pat McAfee, they were part of FanDuel. They had to deal with FanDuel before they went to ESPN. And I will say, like, sports betting, it's probably one of the worst forms that you can ever make money. Like, you're not going to make money in sports. Especially when you watch these games and they literally just feel rigged as fuck. But there is sports and gambling. I watch a lot of these think pieces like CNBC or, you know, Good Work and stuff like that, where they're talking about UCLA is doing studies about the impact of gambling. The promotion of gambling is really the issue. And to me, I've come more along the line. I used to just be like, get over it. People have the right to do with their money. But I kind of see it. But I still, at the end of the day, I think anything that someone is willing to pay for promotion should be allowed to be promoted. I think the more you suppress something, the more eagerness that comes behind it. Even the worst stuff. Like, to me, in the future, I want to be one that can interview anyone. And I've been doing a little practicing. So, you know, I think I'm coming around to something. But I'm not a believer in deplatforming things. I'm not, if anything, if you really strongly are against something and you believe it's ignorant and stupid anyways, you should let them talk long enough to make themselves be ignorant and stupid, if that's what you are, because you can find rationale and you can find irrationale in the most genuine things. It could be like the KKK. It could be Marxism. It could be someone who is anti this or, you know, anti-Semitic and all that stuff. I don't, you know, saying that they should not be allowed to explain themselves or talk on something. No, what debates and stuff like that are for is to provide, and if your point of view is as superior as you think it is, and you articulate yourself well enough, you shouldn't be worried about if they beat you in something. Because if something has such a limited range of function in terms of palpability and substance, then it doesn't matter how well they articulate it. Because your point of view is going to overpower that. I just think it's so stupid to sit there and only think that one point of view of something is right to be said out loud. I'm just not a believer in that. Regardless if it's ignorant or stupid. And it kind of falls into this, you know, you could talk about YouTube. You could talk about, the issue is like the bigger your show gets, I'm not going to be able to talk about this stuff, you know? I mean, I will, but I'm not supposed to. I generally don't ever want an agent. I will say, you know, I'm looking at my underwear, my orange underwear with these glasses. It literally looks pink. I guess I look pretty in pink. sorry. It's a little side tangent there. but that is something you worry, well, not you worry about, but, you know, there's always people that say that, oh, when no matter what, I'm never going to change the stuff I talk about, no sponsors, you know. Like, you really have to get to a certain level where there's no amount of money someone could throw at you where your state in terms of independence is so far and beyond what anyone could do to tear you down. To do that, to really just sit there and say, you would at least be worried about it. Me personally, though, you know, I think over time, you know, I was talking to my partner about this. And I used to just completely say any and everything, right? Like, without even caring if I sound articulate, stupid, or whatever. I was just trying to say the most wildest shit. Not I didn't believe it, but you know. And now, I still say, I think in a well more articulate way. But there are things that I just like, it may come across my mind. I'm like, hey, I'm not going to get into that. At least not right now. You know. It's like, I need a little bit of money before I feel comfortable doing that. the Jews. Nah, but I think the second you start letting the outside world or any type of money or any type of, if you do this, you won't get this in return. If you start letting that stuff dictate how you do things that either provide your income, how you let things do that, how you let that change the way you talk about things to be more safe, to protect your, you know, protect your arse. I think the second you do that, you're willing to do it for anything. You know, and I get, we all have a price. $20 is $20. But there also, it's that fine line between moral dilemma, what is right and wrong. And I can't remember if I went over this last episode, but I think I may have talked about it, but I'll just talk about it again. You know, I think a great example, if you're in a workplace, and let's say you're afraid of losing your job. If you report something that you know is not only against policy or the rules, but you just know it's actually morally pretty fucked up in terms of someone is being taken advantage of in a workplace or whatever. Someone is being made to feel very uncomfortable based off advances or someone is keeping someone the hush because, you know, on a bigger scale and upper management shit's happening and they know some stuff and they're being treated when a peer is being treated less fairly because that person has some blackmail knowledge that could take down a whole place. you know, if you are afraid to report that because you're afraid to lose your job and you're protecting your job in terms of doing the morally right thing, I'm not going to say you're right or wrong. What I will say is, I think once you can rationalize keeping your job over morals, then you let that scarcity mindset affect how you do not only that position, but everything. Because if you have to lie, if you have to look past things to keep your job, if you have to look past things just to, you know, not rock the boat, is that really a place you want to be at? Is that really a situation that really abides by your beliefs? Because to me, I think at this point in my life, you know, I don't care how much money I have in my bank account. And I'm not here to sound like I'm greater than whoever, but if I see something wrong, I'm going to say something. Like, I'm not someone, I don't subscribe to that being a slave to a wage when there's fuckery that's happening. Like, I have too much experience in certain things, and there's a freeing feeling to that. I think the only exception would be like if I say something, you know, if I have kids or something, that's a little bit different. But I still think there's an empowering thing about that to where, because if you're supposedly a leader and a role model and you did an heroic thing at the expense of losing your job, you shouldn't do it for heroism, but if you do something knowing that you may lose your job because it's the right thing to do, you're actually teaching your children that stepping in and putting yourself in between something, even when it hurts you and doesn't benefit you, but you know it's the right thing to do, that is much more powerful in my eyes. That is a true of sacrifice, I guess, in a sense. In a less serious sense, but you know, it's not like you're literally sacrificing. But you know, you're sacrificing today's comfort for a later day of teaching someone how to fish. I think that's what it said. But Kyle, you know, I look back. The things I have seen and that have come to fruition afterhand, I mean, I don't give a shit, you know. I mean, I'm not going to out it because, you know what, ain't my place. But I know there's people out there that have worked at places in environments. They know some weird shit, but you stay out of it. You're an outsider. You know, they say you don't fit into the culture. You know, hey, you know, you're never one of us. And you're like, they not like us. it's like, you're right. Because you all are fucking each other. And I'm not. Yeah, it's crazy what's spread out here. You know? And it's always weird because people, you know, they be talking shit about you and stuff like that. Well, the reason why they're always talking about shit about you, because you don't get involved in their shenanigans, because they're always around each other getting part of their own shenanigans. You know? The clinic's not 24 hours for your test, you know? but, I don't know, you know. That's kind of vague, you know. Maybe if I had some more money, I would just come out and say it. But then they would sue me for defamation and, you know, whatever. But it's like, hey, you know, keep it in your pants. But that's the thing. What is allowed to happen at the smallest level is typically what's allowed to happen at the top level. You know, so take that for what it's worth. Yeah. Super Bowl is coming up this Sunday, you know. It'll be actually the first Super Bowl I have seen or watched. I'm trying to remember the teams that played the last time I actually watched, was actually present for the Super Bowl. Because typically, you know, jobs these days, you know, oh, you have to, if you don't show up, we're going to fire you. It's like, and you go to work, half the people don't show up, and then they're all there the next day and nothing happens. So, yeah. Shit, I'm trying to think. I think the last time I saw a Super Bowl, it may have been Tom Brady on the Patriots, you know. That's how long it was, because I didn't see any of the ones when he was on the Bucks. I don't even think I've seen one with the Chiefs in it, at least in quite some time. That may have been the Pats and the Chiefs that they played. No, because they're in the AFC. I don't even fucking know. You know, that's the point. I think the last one I saw was like the Niners. It was like the Niners and Chiefs, which actually wasn't too long ago, but it feels longer. Oh, I think it was the Jimmy G one. Yeah, overthrew or whatever. But you know, it's. Oh, and also, Luka Doncic got traded. Yeah, I know, you know, at this point, no one's listening, but still. Do a whole thing about that. And, you know, the funniest part about that is this GM. And this is what happens, like, I think the thing that irritates me about why, like, I don't really give a shit that he got traded. Like, it was surprising as fuck, don't get me wrong. I'm like, what the fuck? But to hear this man, like, in a press conference, like, this dude seemed like, no, I'm smarter than y'all. Like, he had that, I'm smarter than y'all. And this is what happens when you get people that overthink this shit. And I know being a GM, anything in sports is not as simple as just, oh, you know, we're just trading for role players. Like, there's cap situations. There's things about the future. There's contracts. There's does this person, like this dude saying, you know, I know what Jason Kidd, the coach, I know what he likes without even speaking to him. And I'm like, I'm sorry, is this guy a woman? like, what? This man, like, I know, you know, when we talk in the offseason about what we're looking for, the type of player, it's like, and then you're looking at Jason Kidd's face, he's just looking like, yeah, you know, the way he looked in the face is like, yeah, but certain players, there's exceptions for that. all that hard nose, we want a grinder. You know, we want someone that comes to work every day and is conditioned and well, like, you know, all that's great. Except you can be in all the conditioning you want because, you know what, fine. Oh, we're here about conditioning. It's like, great. Can any of your conditioning drop 30, 10 and 10 every night? Drop 73 points in a game if we really need you to? All the condition in the world apparently doesn't help with that. But this is what happens when you get people that are almost too smart, like too smart for their own britches. Like they really think it's almost like it's so absurd in their head. They're like, it's got to make sense. Like, you know what? Typically the most absurd things have the greatest output. You got to risk it. It's like, even like the players on Dallas are like, yeah, this is pretty, we don't get it. Kyrie's literally saying, I'm still grieving. Like he fucking died or some shit. Like, yeah, I'm grieving over this, bro. this man kept me sane, you know. Kyrie's probably about to go off the wagon again. But, dude, it's just, this Nico Harrison guy, bro, like, honestly, like, that is beyond a, like, if this thing goes terrible, right, I think, honestly, he should be banned from the NBA. Like, I'm not even kidding, because this seems like you are sabotaging. Like, I'm sorry, like, people shit on owners for meddling in. Like, I don't care if this new ownership was behind this. That even makes it worse. If I'm an owner of a team and you do this, and not only that, but for what you got in return, you gave up more players than what you received. And you were the one giving the biggest fucking asset by far. Like, honestly, if I'm the owner, I'm going to be exactly what all the fans and all the media hate. You know, the owner should stay out of it. Like, you know, no, this is a situation where the owner comes down and said, no, not only is this trade not happening, you're fired. I'm suing you. You go to court, like, so the plaintiff, so being sued because you tried to trade Luka Doncic, and then the judge is like, yeah, shit, he may be on to something. Because you know what, if that goes to a jury, I don't care what race, racial profile, one thing that goes across the board is, yeah, no, you're a fucking idiot, bro. you were like, this is stupid. it really is just, it's the definition of, I know more than you. And there's almost an arrogance. It's so like, when he's doing that press conference and Jason Kidd's just right there, you could tell Jason, this man literally said, we didn't tell Jason, oh, you didn't tell the fucking head coach you're going to trade his best player? Oh, okay. Makes sense. Yeah, why would you tell the coach who signed a 5-year contract, hey, by the way, we're about to trade the reason why you wanted to come coach to the Mavs? Yeah, we're going to do that. Like, there's a, you know, if I was a coach, right, if I was now, what you might have to do, if you start taking over teams that have, like, a Luka Doncic or, you know, fucking Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like, if you trade this player, I deserve to get out of my contract with no repercussions, and you should still have to owe me my full guaranteed contract. I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck that my job is to coach and elevate everyone. That goes out of the fucking window when you get rid of Luka Doncic. And I'm not even the biggest Luka fan. Like, he's not one of, like, I've always kind of found him, like, annoying. He whines a lot. He's always complaining about calls. But then the next game after they trade him, they lost by 43 points. And I know he hasn't played in some time because I think he's been injured a little bit. But I know, like a couple episodes ago, I shitted on this developmental or this league that they're trying to have to kind of create competition for the NBA, to have a rival league that has players that they can sign to maxes. It's a 5 to 10. And at first I shitted on, like, come on. I think this is a situation where it might be like, if they can start matching these contracts to play in a less stressful league, to potentially have more opportunity to really shine and be a pioneer that could dabble on their legacy. I think when you see trades like this, I don't think it's insane. I really don't. But yeah, it's just fascinating to me. God, I can't wait to get some revenue. YouTube. Apparently, you know, not to talk about money, but, you know, YouTube ad revenue apparently isn't all that great when you break it down, depending on. I think the shittiest part about if your job is literally reliant on YouTube ad revenue is a good bit of it is out of your control unless you want to play the game and you start having to play the thumbnail. Because apparently, AI-generated thumbnails are pushed more long because it's easier for YouTube's automated system to detect it to make sure it's safe. And obviously, it's going to look a lot more like clear and a lot more high definition. So it is much more visually appealing. Even if it's kind of like creepy, like when you used to watch, like I watch food reviewer YouTubes where it's like, you know, I think the AI generated where it's like an intense, you know, like, you know, war and shit. Like, you know, this is like ones that cover like the subway situation in New York where it's like migrants against, you know, the crazy people, fights on the subway, how dangerous it is, the transportation, just walking around, the dangers ever since COVID or the dangers ever since, you know, people being homeless and all this stuff. And then it's like, hey, you know, I'm just trying to watch someone eat some Joe's Pizza. And then the AI thumbnail is a freaking like cartoon version of the person you're watching that you typically watch. And then it's like a high pixelated Monsters, Inc. looking fucking thing in there. And it's kind of like, hey man, like I'm just here to watch you go around, eat some pizza and shit, and go to Olive Garden in Times Square. Like, can we relax on the fucking thumbnail? You know, it doesn't have to feel so intense. You're eating at Olive Garden, bro. But I get it. You know, if your livelihood is based off that, and you want to have a, like, you have to kind of adjust to the game. You may even have to start doing things or always doing, like, what I eat in a day, even if you don't really care to do that shit. But that's the thing is, like, you kind of become a slave to what the audience wants. So it is like this weird thing of, do you overreact all the time and just like, hey, just do what they want? Or do you carve out your path and accept the fluctuations and rely on your consistency to when things inevitably go back to, you know, being normal, your normal stuff will still work, you know? I think that's where it's kind of odd, yeah. This is how you know I don't get much mail sent to me. I was scared as fuck someone was going to snatch my laptop. I'm not going to lie to you. And if I was an Amazon delivery driver, like, first of all, this got me opening my eyes, right? I ordered quite a bit of stuff, like five, probably like four or five things through Amazon. The thing that was supposed to take the longest not only showed up first, but showed up like 3 days before it was actually even the earliest date it was supposed to show up. So I think they're like, hey, this guy just blew 800 plus bucks. Fucking give it to them before they don't want it, you know? Jeff Bezos be on some shit, you know? I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, and just imagine, I paid for free shipping. Just imagine if I would have paid the 30 bucks for that shit to show up on, I think the earliest date would have been the 6th, if I wanted to pay 30 extra bucks for it to show up. That bitch would have been here like fucking 2 hours after I ordered the bitch, you know? Knowing about how they fucking work. It really doesn't make sense to me, like, how Amazon runs. Like, no wonder why everyone talks about, like, it's chaotic, no union. It's like, bro, like, they got me my laptop in a day and a half when it wasn't supposed to be here till a fucking week. That tells you consumerism, customer speaks, man. And by the way, never pay for the fucking early shipping because I don't have Amazon Prime. I paid for the free latest delivery you could come get. And they're like, nah, we got you. It's like, I know there was a lot of orders before me. Okay. You know, but shout out, you know, shout out to Jeff, you know, I'm helping you stay the richest man on earth or second. Well, you're not even close to the richest man on earth, you know, but I think it said there's only 22 multi-billionaires in the world. Or something like that, which I don't believe whatsoever. You know, I wonder, can you actually be a billionaire from, at like, what? Like, if you were to make money off straight ad revenue, right? How many views would you have to get watch time in a year to fucking make $1 billion? Like, that would be the crazy stats. Like, we have all these weird mortgage calculators, interest, this and that. If you make this in combat, like, what? How much? What are the amount of watch time? How, like, is it amount of video? How many views and watch time in total and all that shit? How many ads would have to run for you to make $1 billion? And I think at that point, Google is probably coming to your house and be like, do you want to just, you know, come on the team? We put you on a salary. We don't even have the budget for this, you know. Yeah. You know what pissed me off, though, is, look, it's near the end of the pod. Like, no one's listening at this point, so I can talk about whatever the fuck I want. I could pull out my ball sack. Like, it wouldn't even matter. I mean, it may matter when they're processing the video, but, you know, I can edit it out now. Or put a blur. Billy Blur. shit, I forgot what I was talking about. But yeah, I gotta give it to Amazon, you know. Really doing the Lord's work out here. And, you know, if I was an Amazon driver, I'm not gonna lie. Like, apparently the stress of them getting the shit on time is real. Like, they track how fast you're moving and shit, and they keep that shit on record. And if you are not getting there, time and all that shit, like, they'll fire your ass, you know. And I think Jeff Bezos, you know, I don't know the full thing about it, but I think his thing against unions is you're telling me how to run my fucking business and what works for production, you know. I think this is. And there's this odd video. It's almost like their training video where it's like, why we don't talk about union. If you hear someone talk about unions, which is weird. The word union is simply positive. And Jeff Bezos is like, fuck that shit. Fuck that positive shit. Positivity doesn't equal production. Damn, that should probably be a saying. name the last positive work environment that actually got shit done. Not much. I'm kidding. But drama does thrive. Ask Rory Mal. Speaking of that, you know, it is odd. Like, Julian from Rory Mao. It always seems everyone that gets disconnected from Rory Mao or JBP, they know their back history. And instead of keeping it respectful and just being like, hey, you know what? Regardless if I got fired or like, I'm not going to, you know, steep that low and get in contact with Joe and let him know. Damn, that all that rhymed for no reason. Pump it up. It's almost like because they felt wrong, they use their strain and their falling out with Joe to kind of up their new thing. And like you, like that's like really some slimy shit, you know, regardless of what you feel about. And now Julian's doing his own show from his own house, doing his own podcast, and he used kind of the drama, and he's creating his own cool thing, and, you know, it's working. I think congrats to him. I'll be honest, like, even watching Rory Mao, I didn't really care too much about Julian that much, but honestly, I don't really care for when the two main co-hosts, and they start having a, they start including too many other people behind the scenes, like, I think the thing is, like, yeah, it's cool, like, you know, it's fine for the producer to interrupt and shit like that, or be a part of a segment or something like that, but to have them in every single thing you talk about, they should really only be part of it if there's something that they actually have real good insight about, or they're actually entertaining. I think now if you're, like, a producer, it's almost like, no matter, it's almost like expected. It's almost like part of the contract. Like, oh, I need to be basically secondary co-host. It's like, no, that's what we're for. You produce the show and, you know, edit social media and all that shit. That's what you're here for. But it's like people want that cake and eat it too. So then they got to ask for more percentage and stuff like that. And it's like, if you want to do that, just do your own shit, you know? So I was there because I liked Rory Mao and Joe, and I know Parks did, like, edit, but, you know, he was really, like, part of the group, and he just was an audio engineer that knew how to set everything up and knew that shit, but he was definitely one of the main co-hosts. Like, he was definitely what made it what it was. Where, like, the Rory Mao dynamic, like, I never really understood Julian and Damaris and everyone else being a part of it is kind of odd. Like, it's not like why people tuned in or followed them. I think maybe they included because, as Joe kind of alluded to, maybe starting to be exposed, especially with Mao, is them saying like their work ethic. Like, they, I'm not gonna say Rory, but with Mao especially, there's definitely like it's pretty obvious that he kind of comes in, doesn't prepare for much of anything, doesn't even, like, know what they're going to talk about. It definitely feels like he just shows up, collects a check, does the bare minimum. Rory at least looks like, you know, he, even if they look like they didn't research a goddamn thing when they're talking about things. And I'm not going to complain about that, but sometimes you'd be watching the clips and you'd be like, look, I don't do research, but I know more about this shit than you do, you know? And you guys have a producer to go over this shit with you, which is the crazy part. You guys have like a 7-8 team operation, and you guys don't even have like the basic story yet. Like, that's the crazy part to me. But, you know, it kind of waters it down. It kind of makes it where there's too many people talking, and maybe that's just the current direction of podcasting, is that like, you used to just be able to listen to an episode and it'd just be two people talking, three people. Or it'd just be the main group. And now it's almost like what you see is it just seems the addition of more voices, which sounds great in theory, to switch it up and to keep it lively. Maybe if someone's used to hearing the same people all the time, but at the same time, it also makes it where it's too many people. Like, sometimes we just want to know what we're getting, you know? I'm not saying listen to one person the whole time is good. Because even the funniest people, like, successful people, solo podcast, like, it's very hard to stay tuned. Even if they're entertaining and funny. Because it is just one voice, you know? But, yeah. This is coming from someone who does a solo podcast, but not for long. But yeah, I think I'm going to wrap it up there. I'm very excited for what's coming forward. And I'm just really excited to really take this to the next level, as they say. So yeah, that's episode 324 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe. Hit the notification bell, most important ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah, have a great day, morning, night, evening.
Meep, meep.
Oh my God. Ooh, snap, crackle, pop. Rice Krispies.